All right, so we started out a couple of weeks ago looking at this idea, and it comes from this statement here, uncertainty leads to the pursuit of truth. When people are uncertain about something, they want to find out, wait a minute, what's going on here? That's really what this is all about. And the realization that there are a lot of things biblically, there are a lot of religious questions, a lot of Bible questions, a lot of God questions that people have because they are uncertain. And the world is sowing a lot of uncertainty about God and about Christianity and about Jesus and so forth. So really what we're trying to do is look at and clear up whatever uncertainty we can on those kinds of issues, all right? Those kinds of questions that people have. Now, keep in mind also that a big part of this and doing these lessons is so that you can be equipped to help people in answering these very questions, all right? Because you have people in your Jerusalem and in your Judea who have some of these uncertainties. And so I'm hoping that by us studying some of these, I can give you some tools and some ideas that you can be able to use to help those who are pursuing the truth about these things that they are uncertain about. So this morning, here's our question. Are you going to heaven?
Yeah.
Okay? Are you going to heaven? Now, when I ask this question to a lot of folks, and my guess is there's some of you in here that are going to fall into this category. When I ask this question of people, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Then usually what people say is, I hope so. Okay? That's the typical answer that most people give, I hope so. Now, the thing that we have to understand about that answer is, okay, what does it really mean when someone says, well, I hope so? All right, exactly. There is this uncertainty that they have as to whether or not they're going to go to heaven when they die. Okay? So people then have these kinds of feelings. Well, I'm not really sure. Possibly I'm going to go to heaven. Maybe I'll go to heaven. All of those kinds of expressions of uncertainty. Where am I going to go when I die? Okay? And usually that I hope so, and all of this uncertainty comes from this particular thought process right here. That people tend to look at it and say, when they say I hope so, what they're really saying is, I hope that I'm good enough. In other words, I hope that I have more points in my favor than I have points against me when it comes to measuring my life. Or, as some would say, I hope that, you know, when I get up there to the old proverbial pearly gates and Peter's there to greet me and he's going to decide whether I get in or not. Y'all know that, right? All those stories and jokes and so forth, right? But none of that concept is not biblical at all. It makes for great jokes, but we need to understand Peter's not going to be the one deciding whether you get in the pearly gates or not. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, but the idea is that when I get there, that they pull out the scales and they put my life on the scales and I have more good stuff in my life that's going to outweigh the bad stuff. And so if the scales tip in my favor, then I get to get into heaven. And that's typically something along that line is what people mean when they say, I hope so. See? The problem with that is, first of all, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty in that kind of hope, isn't there? Okay? I'm not really sure. I hope so. The other thing about it is when they say, I hope so, they're not talking about biblical hope. All right? We're going to talk about biblical hope this morning so we can remove that uncertainty that you might have. Okay? Because most people will say, I want to go to heaven, right? I mean, everybody in here, we said, how many of you want to go to heaven, right? We all, yeah, I want to go to heaven when I die, right? Okay, so we want to go to heaven. But then there's this, I ran across this word, autelophobia. Ever heard of that before? I never did either. It is the fear of imperfection or of not being good enough. Okay? So people have this fear, this autelophobia, if you will, that they're not good enough to be able to get into heaven. So here's a question for you. Is good good enough? You say, in other words, can you be good enough to get into heaven?
No.
Some of you look really, thank you. Some of you look really unsure. The answer to that is no, you cannot be good enough, okay? You are not good enough. You see, when we have this idea that we're not good enough or we're trying to be good enough, then what we're doing is we're taking Jesus and His blood out of the equation of salvation.
Well,
and we're saying that our salvation really, more than anything, depends on me being good enough. And if I'm good enough, then I get to get into heaven. And if I'm not good enough, then I don't. Well, where's grace in all of that? And where is the blood of Jesus in all of that?
Well,
you say the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 said this. And I'm gonna add a little bit. It's not adding to the scripture, just for understanding here, okay? It's not being good enough that you are saved. Look what he says. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, look at this, is not from yourselves.
Well,
okay? It is the gift of God. And look at this, not by works so that no one can boast. You see, what God doesn't want someone to do is to get up there in front of Peter at the pearly gates. Y'all follow me on this, right? Okay? He doesn't want us to get up there in front of the pearly gates and Peter there and going, ha ha, I got here, I did it, look at all these great things I did, check out my scorecard.
Yeah. Well.
Because then, you know what happens when we're boasting? We get the idea that we, listen to me, we somehow deserve to get in. I deserve to go to heaven because I'm what? I'm good enough. The reality is, and what the Bible teaches us, is that if we all got what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. Because that's what we deserve. But by the grace of God.
Amen.
And the blood of His Son Jesus, that we have the opportunity to be saved. And thus we have hope. True hope. You see, all of this uncertainty that people have as to whether or not they're going to go to heaven when they die. People are walking around and this, they look at this question. Do you know for sure if you will go to heaven when you die? There's a lot of confusion about that. And again, most people will answer that question with that uncertain, I hope so. I'm just not really sure. Let me ask you this question. Do you really think that that's how God wants you to be living your life as a Christian?
No.
Let me ask that again because I think most of you did not hear me. Do you really think that that's how God wants you to be living your life as a Christian?
No.
No, He does not. He does not want you to be wandering around uncertain and unsure and wondering and somehow kind of hoping, if I'm good enough, maybe I'll squeeze in by the skin of my teeth. That's not the kind of God that we worship.
Amen.
So, can you be sure you're going to heaven?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Okay? How? Well, we can be not only sure, we can be certain. Sure and certain. How do we know that? Well, go to the text that we read as we began this morning. Okay? Chris did a great job of reading that long passage this morning, didn't he? And when we were back there in the back and we were talking about that passage, and Holloway said, I never get those short ones like that. He tends to get the ones that have names in it. Then he goes, how do you say this? So Chris got a lucky one this morning. But here it is. And look at what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Now, this is chapter 11, okay, that he's getting ready to tell us about all these people of the Old Testament of great faith. But before we can really appreciate what he says about all these people, we need to know what faith is. So he defines it for us. And here's how he defines it. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is sure and it is certain. It is sure of what? What we hope for. Okay? It is sure of what we hope for. So, you see, that goes back to that question we asked originally. Are you going to go to heaven? And people say, what? I hope so. Well, if you say it with that uncertainty, then you don't have this kind of hope. You say, because this is sure. Right here. Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, what we haven't received yet. Okay. But we are sure and we are certain that we're going to receive it. Hope. What is this kind of hope? What is this biblical hope that makes it so much different from the other kind of hope? Okay? Well, there's two parts of it. Okay? There is, first of all, desire. Hope is desire, and it is expectation all rolled into one. Desire and expectation. If you do not have both of those, you do not have hope. Okay? You at best have a wish. And people would be a lot more honest when you ask them if they're going to go to heaven, if they would say, I wish I could, you say, rather than saying, I hope so. Because if you don't have desire, and what is desire? What's desire? You gotta wanna, okay? That's what it is. You gotta wanna, okay? So that's why I ask the question, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. And everybody said, yes, I want to go to heaven. So everybody here has the desire, right? But what about the expectation part? Do you have the expectation of going to heaven? See, that's where we get kind of tripped up, and that's where that I hope so kind of comes in, because we say, I want to, but I don't know what if I'm good enough. So therefore, I struggle with the expecting to go. Because again, the problem is we tend to put that on ourselves rather than on Jesus. So if you have the desire, but if you don't have the expectation, you don't have hope. Okay? So why should we have this expectation? Why should we, as children of God, have a reasonable expectation to go along with our desire that we will really go to heaven when we die? Well, it has to do not with us and how good we are. It has to do with the promises of God. Amen. Look at what the writer says back in chapter 16 of Hebrews, all right? When God made the, look at this, promise to Abraham, He swore by his own self, since there was no one greater he could swear by. Now, what does that mean? Okay? Have you ever, you know, made somebody a promise and say, I swear by my grandmother's grave, or, you know, by my mother's, you know, biscuits, or whatever it is, you know, that will guarantee that you mean to live up to your promise. You ever done that before? Okay, don't do it anymore. Okay? Don't do it anymore. That's not a good thing to do. Okay? All right? But God, see, there isn't anybody greater than God. Amen? Okay, so he couldn't find anybody to swear by, because there isn't anybody greater than him. Now, it's important that you understand this, okay, is what we're going to see here in just a moment, all right? So he couldn't swear by anybody greater, so he swore by himself, I will shower blessings on you and give you many descendants. Because of that, Abraham persevered and received fulfillment of what? Of the promise. Okay? And he goes on. Men swear by someone greater than themselves. That's what I was talking about a moment ago. You see, I'll be on my grandmother's grave or whatever it might be. You know, we do that kind of thing to try to confirm, you know, our, you know, meaning that we're going to keep our promise. He says, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. So when you say, I swear by my grandmother's grave, or whoever it is, you see, then that's supposed to put an end to any argument as to whether you'll keep your promise. That's really what this is referring to. Now understand, the writer here is not saying that's the proper thing to do.
Amen.
Okay, he's just saying that's what men do. All right, everybody following me on that? Okay, all right, so that's not permission for you to do that. Okay, all right. Now, look at the next part. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature, we didn't get that on there right there. We tried, we had this slide was all messed up. The unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. We had a problem with the font on that thing. Yeah, just bear with me, okay? Here's what I want you to focus on. First of all, there is the unchanging nature, right, of God's purpose. His purpose has not changed from the very beginning, okay? And there is that promise, okay? The unchanging nature. He wanted to make it very clear to the heirs. Who's that? That's we-ins. Okay? You and me-ins, us-ins. Okay? All right, so he what did he do? He had this promise, and he confirmed it with an oath. Okay? He made the promise, and he confirmed it with an oath.
Amen.
He goes on to say this. God did this so that by two unchangeable things. What are those two unchangeable things? His promise and his oath. Okay? They will never change.
Amen.
By his promise and his oath, those two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of, you following me here? The hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged.
Amen.
And then there's one more part of this. He says, we have this hope. Not the hope so. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul.
Amen. Anchor.
A hope both, look at this, sure
and
steadfast.
Like
what is faith again? Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we have not seen.
Amen.
And Paul here, or the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul, says, we've got that kind of hope as an anchor. And what does an anchor do for a ship? It holds it steady. It holds it steady. And Paul says, we have that kind of hope to hold us steady. When does an anchor work best for a ship? in the midst of a storm. Okay? So even in the midst of a storm, you don't have to wonder, what's going to happen to me?
Well,
see? Because you have this hope. Now again, we have that, you know, this hope that is, and I ran across this, by the way, have only positive expectations. I like that definition for hope. Okay? Only positive expectations. Now, here comes back to the issue. Can we really know?
Yes.
Okay? Can we really know for sure that we're going to go to heaven when we die? Well, let's go to 1 John for just a moment and look at what John tells us about what we can know. All right? In 1 John chapter 2, beginning of verse 3, he says, "And hereby we do know that we know him." Okay? We know that we know him. Now, what that means, basically, what it's saying is, I don't have any doubt, I don't have any question in my mind that I'm in a relationship with Jesus. That's what the word gnosko in the Greek language means. Okay? It is to know in a relationship. And John says, I can know that I am in a relationship with Jesus. Now, how can I know that? Well, he tells us next. If we keep his commandments. It's really that simple, isn't it?
Amen.
I can know that I'm in a relationship with Jesus by knowing whether or not I'm keeping his commandments. Which, by the way, look at what he says next. He that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandments,
well,
is a liar.
Yes.
So here's what we need to know. When we ask somebody, say, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And they say, I hope so. The real answer needs to be, well, you know, you can know whether or not you're going to go to heaven.
Well,
and if not, what's the alternative? Yeah, it's hell.
Hell.
Okay? But here's the real issue. We don't have to wonder. We can know that for sure. Every one of us has the ability to look at our life and just ask a simple question. Am I living in obedience to Jesus?
Amen.
If I am, I know where I'm going. If I'm not, I know where I'm going. You see? I mean, it works both ways. It's a real simple process, and that's how God designed and intended for it to be. He doesn't want any uncertainty for us. He doesn't want us wondering. He wants us to know.
Amen.
Because you see, in knowing, we find a tremendous amount of peace, don't we? If we know we're going to heaven. Right? Okay. So we can know that. He goes on to say this. This is how we know we are in him. That is, in a relationship with him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Amen.
So again, it's walking or living in obedience to Jesus. And if we do that, we know that we are in a relationship with him. It's all about then knowing God. So again, we go back to that question, are you going to go to heaven when you die? The answer needs to be based on, do I know Jesus? Not, do I know about Jesus? Okay, because that's not what we're talking about. It's not what the word gnosko means, you see. Do I know him in a relationship? Okay? And that brings us then to this last part, is talking about fellowship with God. Because that's what being in a relationship with Jesus is all about. We are in fellowship with him. And the way for that to happen is that we have to be living in the light. All right? 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he, that is God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Who's the one another here? It's God. Now, we also have fellowship with everyone else who's walking in the light, but what John is emphasizing here is our fellowship with God. We are in relationship with him, but that is conditioned on us walking in the light. Okay? So, therefore, our walk in the light brings us into fellowship. It's the same thing as walking in fellowship with God. But that depends upon our obedience to him in our lives. You cannot walk in disobedience to God and be in a relationship with him or in fellowship with him.
Amen.
James encourages us this way: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And to me, more than anything, what that says is God, that's what he wants, is a relationship with you. Draw near to him in a relationship. I ran across this statement and I can't really argue with it. Most Christians do not have fellowship with God. They have, look at this, fellowship with each other about God. Let that sink in a little bit. You see? We oftentimes have really good relationships with one another, but not with God. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We talk about this verse all the time. When Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will? Who will when he says, are you going to go to heaven? He says, it's only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, obedience, right? This is simple, isn't it?
Amen.
This is not really difficult to understand here. Only those who are living in obedience to him. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works or miracles? You see, there are a lot of those out there who are saying, yes, I believe in the Lord, and I follow the Lord, and they're doing a lot of good works in his name, but they're not walking in the light, they're not living in obedience to him, and he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, that's the relationship, isn't it? Then he says, we're not in a relationship with one another. So guess what? You don't get to come in to heaven. That is something that none of us, nobody wants to hear. I never knew you. Here's the question for you. Wes has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And while we're singing that, I want you to think about this question. After all that we have said this morning, do you know for sure if you will go to heaven when you die? Because my guess is that there are some here who've been uncertain about that. And it may be because you didn't really understand the fact that you can know and you can erase the uncertainty. And if that's all it is, then great. If we've cleared that up for you, wonderful. But if there's someone here yet this morning who is still uncertain, maybe because of the way you're living your life, think about it. As we said, you can know the answer to that question. And it's real simple. Are you living in obedience to Jesus or are you not? And if you're one of those who are not living in obedience to Jesus, don't you want to get rid of that problem and know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? You have that opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus right now, this morning. If you're not a child of God, if you've not given your life to Christ, you can do that right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make a commitment to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you can do that right now. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water is ready. Water is ready. All you got to do is let me know. Ray and Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.